My journey has been one of returning from the darkness and stepping out into the light once more. I'm Chance Lunsford. I'm also Logos Centrifugal. While you're sitting trying to figure that out,
this is my podcast.
Allegedly. Logos Centrifugal Podcast. I'm Chance Lunsford. I'm also Logos Centrifugal. Maybe you're also Logos Centrifugal. While you're trying to figure out how to pronounce that and what it means to you, let me introduce today's three special guests. This is a special podcast for me because each of these three gentlemen mean a great deal to me. Their wisdom and their friendship and their sometimes uninvited but always welcome guidance has been of great value to me and to a lot of other people out there in the digital space. But I have with me today the Gray Wave, the Council of the Elders. First up, we have Chief Chuck. He missed out on the last one, but he's here today. And the chief is chiefly. I couldn't help myself. It's right up his alley. Chief is a leader, and he's a joker, and he's got a lot of things to say in a way that makes it very palatable to absorb the things that he's saying. Even if he's poking fun at you, he's having fun with you, and he's making sure that you have fun with him too. And that kind of wisdom is sneaky, but it's one of the critical tools of leadership in the world today, especially when people are taking things so seriously and getting so offended. And Chief has been one of my longest running friends on Twitter and supporters. And it's an honor to have you here, Chief. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Billy Redhorse, the Gentleman Mystic, and is sort of right there in the title. He is a gentleman. Manners are important. Respect is important. And taking a look at things through the lens of beauty and wonder is a very important aspect of what Billy Redhorse does. And of all three of these gentlemen, he's the one who might slip into the DMs and say, "Mr. Lunsford, I think you probably are approaching this the wrong way. That's not respectful, or that's not the kind of tone that I've grown to expect from you. I'm going to mute you again. I'll check back on you in a couple of weeks and see what you're up to." And whenever I get one of those messages from Redhorse, it's one of those times where I check myself and I go, "Oh, yep, that's exactly right." And that kind of friendship, like Noble Brown said the other day, we all need more friends like that. And, and so with that, Redhorse, thank you for being here.
Hey, and if you will go back through the DMs, you'll note that you haven't been checked thusly in a while, so that's a good thing.
Indeed, indeed. And finally, we have Mr. Do Hard Things, Dennis Hines. Dennis is a man who, he's the kind of guy you want to have in your life as a young man because you look at him and you go, well, he's more jacked than I am. He's thoughtful in his approach. He's doing all these cool things. And he's, you know, 30 years my senior. There's no excuse for me to be slouching. There's no excuse for me to be lame. There's no excuse for me to be melting a hole in my couch. I need to get out there and make sure that when I get a little bit older, I'm still able to do all these cool things. And his reminders are more often on the timeline than they are on the DMs, but he does a hard thing and he reminds you that hard things are worth doing because that's where self-respect comes from. That's where the discipline to be able to accomplish the goals that you have set forth come from. And it's something that I always love to see. Dennis hanging upside down, listening to music and smiling at the camera is always a treat. So Dennis, thank you for being here. Welcome back and glad to have you.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So gentlemen, this is what I hope will be a fairly regular thing. I like having you guys on here, and I know that the Logos Centrifugal audience also does. Every time I announce that one or all of you are going to be on here, everybody just goes, "All right." So what I would like to do to start this off is maybe I'll set the scene and then I'll just kind of pass it off and we can play it that way. It's 2020. We're in a world where everything is bifurcated. Everything is politicized. Everything is energized and cranked up to maximum obnoxiousness. And there's so much more noise than signal and everything that's being pumped into the zeitgeist. And we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. And Dennis, you said, I have zeitgeist fatigue. I'm tired of it. I've had it up to here because it's too much. It's too constant. And I know that a lot of people are feeling quite a bit of frustration and confusion, fear and doubt about what's going to come from all of this and the directions that we're heading in. And I guess I just wonder, and maybe let's start with you, Dennis, because you had started to get rolling on this idea initially. What's to be done about this zeitgeist fatigue, this ratcheted up hostility, this intensely bifurcated, nonsensical news cycle? I mean, where are we going and what are we to do about it?
You know, you kind of nailed a question right there that's been prominent since all this spooled up in my own assessment of what was going to happen with me going forward. And what I found was that what I called that zeitgeist fatigue was that if you're paying attention, you realize that there are a lot of things that are going on now that are very disruptive. And we were doing okay. You know, we've had ups and downs, had that, but all of a sudden, and I don't know that we're in a black swan for humanity or anything like that, but we had a very big change of the paradigm. Everything changed and it's still changing right in front of us. I mean, that's part of what's going on, is that it's forced change. And we're not, unless you try to inculcate that ability to manage change, or at least this is what you say, you know, you want to be able to manage change. And so, going through things, you put yourself out into change so that your change muscle, your adaptive muscle, will respond better, let's say, and cope better. Well, what I found was, from feeding myself constantly, all of a sudden I was an expert on viruses. And all of a sudden I'm an expert on Chinese dams and vaccines and political Saul Alinsky tactics. And it's like, no, I'm not. I've been dumping all this crap in my head. And what I found was that it was making me question how sincere and how real are the things that you put out as good attributes to have. How real is it in here? And I was finding myself like just basically spooling into places. It's like I'm not enjoying life. I'm always on a button, you know. It's like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? It's like a chronic anxiety. I mean, sincerely, that's what was going on. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I address this problem? And I think that in myself. So as far as the outside world, what do I need to do? I need to curate what gets into my head, what gets between my ears. I don't need to know every little thing that's going on. It's like a feeding frenzy. That was my condition. Just was like, I gotta know. There's stuff that's so unpredictable. And what I found was eroding my enjoyment and pleasure in life. I was always walking around all bunched up, and it's like, I'm not even taking a minute here. There's three bluebirds sitting there, and I'm thinking about the Three Gorges Dam. Mm. What the hell is wrong with me? So my strategy has been to truncate a great deal of information that's coming in. It's just superfluous. It's clickbait. It's all that. To really ratchet down on that, and then to go back to original steps, original things. Go back to all I can work on, and the best way for me to approach what's going on is to, and I know it's an overused word, is to optimize myself internally, to make me better and make me more capable of whatever's coming of dealing with that. So that is where my focus, I have really, and that's one thing. This whole situation is an opportunity. It's an opportunity in the biggest sense of the word. When I was a kid growing up, I always had this fantasy of being a monk, you know, of course, he was a Shaolin monk and doing Kung Fu, but always you're in this real austere situation and you're very isolated and all that. Well, here you go. Here it is. You've got an opportunity now with, in my case, I have been very isolated since February. Part of that is the fact that my wife is, heavily engaged with elder care with her father. So my father-in-law is in that profile, high risk profile. And that being the case, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people, when they get into the back and forth, is they don't understand it. Everybody's circumstance is different. And you've got to decide for yourself whether you're going to take this action or that action, not have it mandated from up high, and it one size fits all. So for me, what that means is that my isolation has been pretty intense because I do not want to be the Grim Reaper. I do not want to go out and do something and be contract COVID, pass it to my wife, and pass it to my father-in-law. So that's been a very interesting situation where I've been very isolated. So it's like, what can you do within that circumstance? What can you do to make the best of it? And it's not, for me, it's not anything I can do externally. It's all been internal. And okay, you need to do, or work on this, work on that, work on this. And that's what I see it as an opportunity. So it's like, even if it's something trivial and mundane, but you always wanted to do it or you always wanted to try it, go ahead and do it. You know, if you want to, there's all these disciplines and stuff that are out there that people are doing or they're touting. You know, you've got breath work, you've got flexibility, you got all these different things. This is the perfect time to do it. If you're not out hanging out and you're not in the trying to normalize whatever that means, you're spending a lot of time with yourself. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. We haven't had that time. We've had to fight to not be totally engaged and overwhelmed. And now you're cut off unless you go through this thing here, this screen. And the screen is, it's a siren. It's a siren calling us. And we've got to stuff our ears with wax and tie ourselves to the mast and not be drawn into it, not go into the maelstrom. I don't think that's the solution, is to go out and start swinging. And that's where my, and I don't know where things are going. anyway, I could. This is deep. I've thought about this a lot because of how difficult it's been for me. It's been difficult. I've got to admit that this has not been a piece of cake, as making these adjustments, much less just sweeping out any at this point, feeling like that any plans that I've made for the arc of time from this time going forward till I'm in the dirt, those plans have changed dramatically. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what's going to happen. So it's a matter of understanding and looking at that the paradigm has changed, and it's changed for everybody, whether they know it or not. It you can struggle to make it the same or do something, but there are things that have occurred in our country in particular that are very fundamentally disruptive of at least the narrative that Americans give themselves. Home of the free, you know, land of the brave, home of the brave, land of the free. You know, that's come under play. That's come under question because it's from watching how we as Americans have reacted. So we're in a different ball game. And I'm still wrestling with it. I wrestle with it every day, trying to figure out what's going on.
So one of the things that you said that I really picked up on there and can relate to a lot is taking this time to look internally, because I have found myself many times in the last 6 months being drawn into one thing or being drawn into another, and then a gentle or sometimes not so gentle reminder comes into my life. I talk to my creator, he talks back to me, and if you understand the language, you begin to see, and it's sort of like chance, that's not who you are. You're not building your actions on top of your principles. You're building them on quicksand, and you're going to get stuck if you're not careful. You need to step back. And I think that's one of those things that's very important to think about in these disruptive times. It's like, well, okay, what am I building a life on top of? What are my principles? What are those first things that are the foundation of everything else I'm going to do? Because if everything is in flux out here, all I can do is look in here and make sure that I'm right on my 10 rules for life or whatever, you know, whatever you have. And if you don't even know what that is, boy, spend a lot of time with yourself and asking those questions and writing them down might be a really beneficial practice. But if you know what they are, you got to check yourself. You got to say, you know, chance, are you acting in accordance with your principles? Are you doing the things that the rules that you have set for yourself would dictate that you do? And I found myself answering no more frequently in the last 6 months than I have in the last 5 years. And I'm grateful for that in a certain sense, because it's like, oh, okay, there's some stuff in here I got to pull out and take a look at, and I've got the time, and so I'm going to do it. And I've been grateful for that because I have my kids here with me and I have my wife here with me, and my wife has been very much sort of alerted to some of the things that I had been trying to communicate to her for a long time, but just didn't have the skills, or maybe she didn't have the ears to hear. But now she looks out at the world and she sees things. And now she's coming back to me from that place and going, Chance, this is not what you are supposed to be doing. And I go, well, this is my wife and she loves me and she understands better now and she's right. And I guess what I want to do with that is, I think that this is a good point for Chief to jump in, because you mentioned before we started recording too that, you know, you've kind of been working from home except for these times when you've traveled around. And so you're sort of in this bunker, and then you go out into the world for a little bit and then you come back and you're bunkered down. And I guess I wonder, Dennis said, my plans for the future are up in the air. I don't know what's going to happen with any of this. And, you know, You're a gentleman of a certain age. I'm sure you got plans for the future and spending time with kids and grandkids and that kind of thing that now it's less certain. And I guess I just wonder how you're processing this and how sort of the juxtaposition between I'm sitting here at home all the time and then I'm going out into the world for brief moments and looking at the things that are around me. I really kind of wonder how that's informing your perspective and what you have to kind of add on to what Dennis was saying.
Yeah. I mean, for me, we started mandated telework on about a 2-hour notice on March 16th. And it's notable, I still go into my office about once every 2 weeks because of IT restrictions. We have to go in and I have to plug my computer into the secure wire. But my desk calendar still is March 16th, and I refuse to move it. It's almost like the clocks that stopped during Hiroshima, you know, at the detonation. And that's the way I kind of, at first, that's the kind of way I looked at it was, you know, this was the atomic bomb of my leadership. I manage and lead a team of about 13 people. And we all started working remotely all of a sudden. I had been pushing a telework agenda for years. You know, I thought it was time. I thought it was, we could do it. So here we were. We were thrust into it. And it's amazing what the government can do on short notice when they have to do something. Things that we had been talking about for years but would never get around to, we now had to do in a matter of days, if not hours. So I did a lot of reflection on it when I got here, and now I'm leading a team remotely. So I realized that I could look at this two ways. I could look at it as a pain in the ass, or I could look at it as a blessing. And I chose blessing because for a couple of reasons, and a lot of them are selfish, to be quite honest with everybody. I had gotten my agenda finally pushed through by force. You know, now we were teleworking and I've been wanting to do this. But the bigger challenge was, is for me at my age and for the years that I've been doing this, oh boy, here comes a new leadership challenge. This is new. I've never had to remotely manage this many people and this big of a program this far remote and under these conditions. So to me, it was fun. I just chose to, this is now fun because you told all of the people that say, we can't do this during telework, we can't do this, we can't do that, oh boy, let me show you how we can. And it really personified and it kind of really just concentrated everybody else's mindset around me that, you know, tell me again how we can't, and I'll give you 15 reasons why we can and how we can do it. And I'll prove you wrong, and we'll do it, and we'll do it better. And I have the metrics to back it up. My team, I track metrics like a fiend because despite what you see on Twitter and my personality, I am a really good program manager and a good project manager, and I'm a metrics fiend. I have numbers to prove that my team is 37% more efficient over telework than we were when we were in the office. And I got a lot of reasons that you can tell you why, but the point is people, I think inherently, I didn't have to push them. People inherently in a time of what they perceive as a crisis, I think our instinct and our DNA instinctively makes us improvise, adapt, and overcome. It's just that survival gene. Now something, my world is thrown out of its routine and its chaos. Your basic instinct is to survive and do what you need to do to survive. So being at home has been, gosh, man, it has been such a blessing for me. Health-wise, mental, physical, everything, you know, as to where now I don't have to get up in the morning, rush to the office, get dressed, drive, put up with idiots on the road, get to my office, go through the routine. Hey, how was your weekend? Now I have that time to where I'm getting up in the morning. I have my coffee. Yes, to the great relief and happiness of these two gentlemen that are on the screen, I've actually, believe it or not, I can actually meditate now without falling asleep. I can physically sit and just breathe and focus on my breathing and focus on things and just be free without falling asleep. And I can only do it for about 5 to 6 minutes, but for me, that is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. But I found that I had time to go out on my back deck and have my coffee and hear the birds. And I started doing my, and then I go for my walk. And I used to go for my walk
only to get my 20 minutes, 30 minutes of cardio in, get the walk done, get in the shower, get ready, go to work. The funniest things have happened on these walks. And these two gentlemen will appreciate it. Probably they're just going to go, yeah, stupid. We've tried to tell you this ever since we've known you. But when I go for my walks, I have a rolling neighborhood, but I've actually become so in tune with my surroundings. I can feel the atmospheric and climatological changes when I go for this mile, mile and a half walk. I can feel the temperature change. Hell, I can almost feel the dew point change. Because I'm not focused on the end. I'm focused on the journey. I'm walking. I don't have to be back. All I got to do is go back and really just sit down at my computer. I don't have to shower. I don't have to wear pants if I don't want to. And I'm not going to stand up now. So, but that's the thing. I mean, it's a total mindset change. So instead of me, a lot of people you see, they've struggled hard with it. Some people have just complained about it because, well, they just like to complain. I've had the hardships. There's been time. I mean, I'm frustrated. I want to go, but it's a blessing, and I chose to look at it that way. And then when I go out into the world, it's really, I think, to Dennis's point, to where the overload of information that you get online. We were out and about this past weekend, or last weekend. I had some people I needed to go see and some personal things to take care of. But, I got to stop and visit with Ryan Fellman, Man Integrated, or Path to Manliness, sorry. But we saw some family and all this. But you go through these little towns, you know what? Here's the thing. There was, still statues standing of both Union and Confederate battles. There were people in the town square, different races, different ethnic backgrounds, diversity, and they're all sitting at coffee shops and they're all, hey, how you doing? People are still people, and we're being played to a large extent in the media. And I think Dennis hit on it that, the biggest thing that's helped me too is I don't watch the news, and it's hard to do when you live in the DC area. You are surrounded by it. You're infiltrated by it, and it can form your perspective to a bad way if you're not careful, but purposefully making myself, I watch a lot of Andy Griffith, a lot. So, and that keeps me sane. So that's been the easiest thing for me to handle, is looking at it as a challenge, look at it as a blessing and an opportunity, like we've all talked about. And this is a chance to better yourself. So I think that's where people really need to focus, is don't focus on how bad it is, that you can't go, you can't quit focusing on you can't. This is what I get to do. You want to try yoga, try yoga. I call it stretching because yoga just sounds too foo-foo for me. We called it stretching. I don't call it working out. It's calisthenics. We did calisthenics in the military. It's nothing like that, but it's a chance to get out and be able to do those things that you really wanted to do. So look at it that way.
So there's this old joke by Bill Hicks, and he's talking about Ted Turner and CNN, and he says, you look at the news and it's war, disease, famine, war, disease, famine. And then you look out your window and it's crickets and it's sunshine. And you go, well, where's all the war and disease and famine? And I think that's becoming abundantly clear to a lot more people than it ever has before. It seems to me, from my sort of limited experience in the world, that all news has been fake news for all time, pretty much. And it's just being highlighted at this point. And my daughters went out and had a lemonade stand in front of my house on Friday, and they made like $48 in 90 minutes. And the reason that they were able to make that kind of money is because my neighbors are kind people, and they came over and said, oh, you're selling lemonade and cinnamon rolls? Cool. Here's the dollar for the lemonade, and here's the dollar for the cinnamon rolls, and then here's $5 because you're my neighbor and you're a cute kid. And that's most people right there. And It was cool. Just as a little aside, my daughter earned some money and she wanted to do this lemonade stand. I said, all right, you can either go buy this thing that you wanted, or you can invest in your business, and then we can set aside some of this money and go buy some other stuff. And so now she's gotten bitten by the entrepreneurial bug a little bit. And she's really excited. And they made a little lemon head costume and had my youngest dancing around. So the point I'm making with all of that is just to say, You know, my kids go, COVID sucks. And then they go outside and have a lemonade stand. And my neighbors go, COVID sucks. And then they come over to the lemonade stand and they give my kid $5 for a drink of crappy lemonade. And I go, COVID sucks. And then I look at my kids and I smile and I laugh. And I think that that's probably a more common experience amongst everybody out there, even the most radically active people on the Twitter or in the political realm or whatever. They go and they have their little tantrum on Twitter, and then they go off and they go, hey, significant other, let's watch a movie tonight. Or, you know, I'm still having dinner every damn day, and it's, you know, I'm still enjoying it with the people that I love, and maybe our conversation subjects have changed. But I think that that is what people are forgetting about everybody else. It's like, they're still just people out there. They're still just doing the things that they need to be able to enjoy their life to the best of their capacity. And I wonder, coming from that framework, I think it's a good time to pass it over to the gentleman Mystic and just kind of ask you, Red Horse, from a gentleman Mystic perspective, what do you suppose, where do you suppose that the ideas of beauty and honor and respect and gratitude factor into all of this? How do they help us maybe realign our mentality and realign our perspective to remember the things that we've kind of all been talking about, that it starts from within and it spreads to the people that are right around you that you care about and love, and that those ripples kind of spread out? You know, it seems like people have sort of lost the ability to communicate in the ways that bring about concord rather than discord. And I wonder sort of your take on all of that and maybe what you would point us towards.
The thing that I have written about extensively, away from the 280 character limit, has been a theme that I have constantly revisited with regard to what it is that separates the human animal from all of our other animal family, and that is manners. And some people will only think that I'm talking about etiquette and following rules, and, you know, which fork do you use? What knot do you tie with your suit? What, you know, how do you address someone? And certainly that's part of it. But I speak more towards what I view as the refinement of who human beings are as a species. And it is this dynamic, this interaction that humans have or should have that seems to be daily vanishing. It's a civility. You know, I have talked on a video that occasionally I recycle on Twitter, a Mystic Minute, about my view on respect. And people would think, based on what I just said, that I believe everybody should be respected. Everybody should be treated thusly. And I don't, because respect is something that has to be earned. And now, that does not mean that we don't act courteously to other people, that we do not treat people with dignity, even if they don't deserve it. Otherwise, we do dehumanize them, to use the term that you used, that you mentioned earlier, Mr. Lunsford. But so long as we allow others to drive our narrative, you know, narrative being another big buzzword of the day, we're going to be subject to giving away our power. And another thing that is so important to me is power. And power does not mean that you're the godfather or a president or a senator and you move little chess pieces on a board. Power is agency. It is self-expression. It is self motivation. And too many people are allowing themselves to be chess pieces on a board, mostly pawns. I view the fact that I hate this politician, blah, blah, blah. That's what people think they hate, you know, politician A. They don't hate the politician. They hate this image that they have created in their mind of who and what this politician is, based on the input of someone else who has done exactly the same thing. Now, yes, politician A may be a bore. This politician may be uncouth. This politician may be mean. Or this next door neighbor may be mean. Or this businessman may be mean. But the, you know, walk with me here. You know, we all have families. You know, we all have significant others. You know, we kids. Even in that close proximity, we can never completely know anyone else. Hell, we can barely even know ourselves. And the farther the proximity is, the less likely you are to know someone. So a fake news, you know, to narrative or a propaganda narrative, you got to look at what someone else is trying to accomplish by this sort of manipulation. Yeah, that's, to your question, that's the thing that I am constantly aware of. I had made mention I think it was probably 2 months ago, a tweet that I was already feeling panic fatigue. And I had even reached out to my brother, the chief, early on in this, hoping that this would be over and done with by this point, not realizing that this was going to be something that's going to drag on and probably magically disappear in mid-November. That just how it was whooping my ass. And I was getting off message. And I had to remember those bluebirds. I had to remember those dew points, the change in the barometric pressure, and get back on message. And yeah, some could say how shallow of you that you're talking about manners and nice boots and waistcoats and good whiskeys. Well, those are the things that make my life beautiful. You know, interacting with my brothers, with my young nephew here, this is what the meaning in my life. And to let someone else determine that meaning is giving away my power. Now, after that inspiring little bit of information, something that has to be considered and something that I have had to admit, I understand the importance of looking at history. In the fourth grade, I can remember back when they actually used to teach history, the discussion coming up about the Roman Empire and how Rome collapsed. Now, we're not going to talk about the benefits or the whys and wherefores of, you know, colonization and conquering and slavery and all that. That's not my point. Point is, you had this great civilization that spread, that existed, and it collapsed under its own weight. I can remember in the fourth grade, 9 years old, looking at my teacher and saying, well, what's to stop that from happening here? And I have, there are those that say that the average length of a republic, the average lifespan of a republic is 200 to 250 years. Well, if that's accurate, even remotely, we in the United States have outlived our life expectancy. So what I have to acknowledge and operate from now is the fact that chaos is here, change is here. Don't try to go back and force this past that we had into a future. I have had to freely admit and come to terms with and find peace with the fact it is my view that within the next decades, possibly, maybe even years, the United States as we know it will cease to exist. There will not be one country. I can easily see the United States splitting into three countries, a western region, a northeastern region, and then a central and southern region. And that is based solely on philosophies and Weltanschauungs and how you want to live your life. And I default to freedom. And if you want to live your life in such a way that you're burning buildings and destroying property, as long as it's not mine or those that I love, well, if that's how you want to live your life, okay. So, you know, the folks that want to do that need to live in their own region. The folks that want to just go out and have lemonade stands and take walks and pet dogs, they need to have their own thing. I default to freedom. Choose what it is that you want, decide what you want, and pay for it. It's that simple. And I have had to come to the realization, okay, what I grew up with, that apple pie and land of the free and home of the brave, that probably ain't coming back in that form. And it's maybe it's time for a new refinement, new manners, new acceptance of opportunity, as the chief said. And this is not some Pollyanna-ish, unicorn fart smelling thing. This is, okay, what do we do to take this thing that we find ourselves stewing in right now and make it beautiful? How do we refine it? How do we glory in it? How do we grow from it, rather than how do we just rot in it? And right now, there's the thing that saddens me the most is that so many of my brothers and sisters, not just in the States but around the world, are the rudders are gone. The ships are just at sea. Sorry to be stepping on your toes there, Chief. Without rudders, without engines, without sails. And humans don't like to be lost. We like a compass. We like to know where we're going. We like to know that we have the ability to get there and that we have the fortitude and the wherewithal to support one another to get there. And, this time is... I honestly don't believe this is hyperbole. This time is for the citizens of the United States of America unprecedented. There may have been shots fired in the 1860s, but I think we're in the middle of a cultural upheaval now, equal to, if not more so than that, energetically. And the sad thing about it is, it's not from people having their own perspective. It's from narratives being enforced from the outside. And that's what makes me so sad. People are rolling over. This is the goddess of this land is freedom. The harbor in New York, that is a representation of the sacredness of this land, freedom. And people are just, here's my freedom, take it. Here's my, I don't need, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And gentlemen, the gentleman mystic does not talk about politics. I'm not talking about politics. I am talking about something fundamental to who we are as men, as citizens of the Mother Earth, and as a better representation than what we're presenting ourselves right now. Hey, I've spoken.
I'm going to go a little bit abstract here for a second. I think it's appropriate. If you imagine that sort of the energy of life is a sea, it could be calmer or more turbulent. Right now it's very turbulent. And to me, sort of the definition of a child or the developmental process is learning how to swim. And there's a lot of splashing and sort of choking that goes on while you're trying to learn to keep your head above water. But when you learn to swim, you can head for the shore and just stand up on your own 2 feet. And you don't want to walk away from the ocean because it's what life flows from. But part of being an adult is learning how to calm those waters. It's like you're taking a bull and you scoop it up, and then you carefully walk back a few feet from the ocean, and you look down, and as the water calms in that bowl, you see your reflection, and you reflect on your life, and you see yourself a little bit clearly. And the problem maybe is that, or not a problem, but just the reality is that if you try to hold up that bowl to show other people what you see in yourself, the water all falls out and they just see a bowl. And you sort of just pour out that energy trying to justify yourself to the world when really it was that process of reflection that was the point. And then you walk back out and you teach the kids how to swim because you don't want them to drown. You want them to be able to keep their head above water, even in that choppy water. And like you said, Red Horse, it's there's some big waves. And there's only a few people out there in the world who can surf those big waves and not get pummeled by them. And even then, that doesn't last forever. And I guess after getting a little bit holding crystals in my hand, kind of a situation there, I recognize that it's hard to do that. It's hard to take that bowl and look at your reflection and go, this is me. This is honestly who I am. And if I don't like what I'm seeing in here, I got to do something about that. And it doesn't have anything to do with what's out there. It has everything to do with me in here. I try to remind myself that there are people out there who have just immeasurably more difficult lives than I do, and they're doing fine. There's no reason for me to be a bitch about my life because it's harder than it was yesterday. That's not a problem. That's an opportunity. And I think that's a lot of what we've been talking about. And respect is important. And to really make that concrete, Chief, I want to respect you. And I know that we have some time limits on your participation. And I guess I wonder, as a last opportunity to reflect on these things before you go fulfill some responsibilities and build that community and show that respect, is there anything you feel like needs to be said by you to the people who are tuning in here? Any sort of like advice or things to consider that they might take with them before you go do your thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think all four of us really have, we've hit on some great points. And I think when people look back at this and they view it, I think it's not going to be particularly any aha moment. It's going to be, oh yeah, you know, we've known this, but sometimes you just have to be reminded of it. Just by a weird opportunity, the one thing that hasn't really changed my mindset, but it's helped shape it a little bit and perspective wise. I picked up a Kindle book for free, just said, you know what, this is something to read at night. And it's really kind of helped me. It's about, and I've tweeted about it, it's about the Byzantine Empire. And to that one Twitter dude that keeps tweeting me and DMing me and reminding me that they refer to themselves as Romans, I am perfectly fucking aware of that. I'm not stupid. But for the point of reference, so that people don't confuse it with the Roman Empire that they picture of the togas and the Colosseum and the Parthenon, I am speaking of the Byzantine Empire, roughly in the first 1,000 years of modern time. So all of that disclaimer aside, reading this book, it occurred to me that the old saying that I've heard 1,000 people say before, there's really nothing new under the sun. The Byzantine Empire went through the same exact things that we're going through. It's just in a different kind of context and frame, but they had political upheaval. They had emperors that they didn't like. They had a lot of incestuous, you know, and I'm going to promote you because you're my, you know, girlfriend, mistress, whatever. We're going to kill people. We're going to plot to get rid of people. We're going to plot to change the course of history. And they did. Obviously, we're here. So to both Dennis and Red Horse's point is, we are in the midst of our own empire shift. We are forging history. I don't care how you think this came about. I don't care how you think it came about. It doesn't matter. It's here. It happened. So now we're shifting. We're shifting history. So really, I think my advice and the things that I try to remind everyone is be very mindful of how do we want this to come out in the end. You can either be a participant or you can be a spectator. Sometimes you know, in some of the Chief's words, you can be the windshield or you can be the bug. It really doesn't, you're going to be one or the other. So which one do you choose to be, you know, and you go out and do that. This is a chance to shape history. I think all of us, in some sense, the people that we associate with both online and in real life, I think we're all doing good things to shape that history. Either if nothing else from just looking inwards, and changing how we think about something. And I'll go back to Dennis. Dennis has done a lot of inside thinking on this, and he talked about his internal thinking. Well, I could sit here and go, well, what does that got to do with me? Well, I'll tell you what it's got to do with me. Dennis is going to do some internal thinking, and he's going to put something out there online one day, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to absorb that, and I'm going to consume it, and then I'm going to machinate on it a little bit, and then I'm going to do something with it. And then somebody's going to pick up what I say or write about it, and then they're going to take it and run with it. And then so, you know, the old Breck shampoo commercial, which only the three of us, not you, Chance, you probably don't remember the Breck shampoo commercial, but us three old dudes do of I told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on. That's how we shift and shape history. As Dennis gets a seed, I take that seed, you know, I pass that seed, you know, we all put our own things on it. And so collectively, we're all shifting and shaping history. So, you know, be mindful of that. If nothing else, be mindful of how you're shaping history. And this is coming from the guy that has no filter on social media, as I'm reminded very often by my friends and my brothers of my lack of filter. But that's just me. That's what you get. If you want respectful and manners, you go to Billy. If you want hard things with a 15-pound maul, you go look at Dennis. If you just want some guy that's going to blast his opinion straight at you, you come to the Chief. All three of us put together, you know, it makes a balanced team, and the rest of the Twitter sphere, as I call it, you know, and we really are a community. You know, make no bones about it. I don't care how we're connected. We are a community and we're a family. You know, you don't always have to like the drunk uncle that you keep up in the attic, but you know, we have ours and we have our good parts of the family. So, you know, we all come together and we make our own collective selves better and we make each other better. So just, I guess, you know, in a simple term, everybody just calm down, man, just chill. It'll be all right. This world has gone through many, many, many things. It's going to go through many, many more things. 150 years from now, I don't think anybody's going to really care what we talked about. They're going to be going through their own thing. So it'll be all right.
Hmm. Well, Chief, that's beautifully put.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I got to drop out. Just for everybody watching, just so you know, we've had a lot of rain in the Mid-Atlantic. We had a storm and then we've had a lot of rain the last few days. So the wind's picked up and my neighbor has a tree down. And because he is, I guess what Twitter would call is a soy boy or something. I don't know what they call him. He doesn't own a chainsaw. So I do. I'm an alpha male. I have two chainsaws.
One for Chief Chad.
Sometimes I shave with my chainsaws. But, you know, that's okay. So I got to go help him get rid of this tree. So I'm getting my workout in today. So, you know, so Dennis, I'm going to do a hard thing. And I'm going to go move these logs on the wet ground. So. In the humidity, so
yeah, sweat hard
always, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, take care, brother.
Good, love you.
Well, let's wait till he goes and then we can make fun of him.
There we go.
It's always good to have him around. I'm glad we were able to make it work with him this time around, too. That's he provides a good. You know, his character is fun to throw into the mix.
Well, so, you know, really, if I may interject here, it would be kind of good at this point, even though we normally run very long, to maybe kind of, you know, bring this one back into the port and just kind of each of us make our own little denouement. And, you know, not to hijack your show, Mr. Lunsford, but And I realize that this is what, your third podcast in the last 8 hours. So you should, you know, don't overextend your young self.
It's I'm just the host of your podcast. Every time I have a guest, it's theirs. So look, I'm cool with that. I mean, people have heard me talk just plenty. So since you're sort of on topic there, Red Horse, why don't you go ahead and say what you have to say and leave them with something impactful before we do our thing.
Well, sometimes the impactful is just, as the chief alluded to, it's the obvious thing. We so desire certainty in our lives that if the only thing that seems to be certain is fear or anger or rage or confusion, we will continue to reach out for that just because it's the guaranteed thing. It's the certain thing. That is bad medicine. That is, and unfortunately, in the last 6 months, this has been ramped up to a level that I've never encountered in my 6 decades on this planet. It certainly, as we've said, talking about history, this is not the first time that it's ever happened. But for me, in my life and my experience, I have never experienced it this way before. Certainly, my brother Dennis has almost 10 years on me, and so he has even more experience to, you know, things to compare to. But the anger is never lessened by being angry. And, you know, that sounds like a, you know, just pablum, and, you know, fine if that's what someone wants to view it as. And I am not saying, you know, peace, love, and understanding. I'm just, you know, stop, take a breath. Listen to the bluebirds if you're blessed to have them singing. Even better if you can see them. Walk away for a minute and be willing to be wrong. You know, that's another part of what we're dealing with now. We have the paradox of, you know, everybody gets a participation trophy for just getting out of bed in the morning, but you have to, nobody can be wrong. You know, if you make a mistake, you're cast out forever. And I'm talking about a real mistake, not someone that makes a choice, gets caught, and then says, oh, I apologize. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, well, you knew that to begin with, which is why it's not a mistake. It's something else entirely. We've got to, I mean, if you want to throw off the heaviest shackles in your life, you have got to get rid of you general, not you gentlemen specifically. You have to get rid of the shackles of willing self-ignorance. And people are, they're bound under that heaviest of weights. You know, the self-ignorance, belief, pretense, and laziness. Those four things are, excuse me, in such evidence now in our world. And they are the four great enemies of humanity. And until they are addressed and acted upon to lessen them, or even better yet, remove them, we're going to continue to find ourselves in this maelstrom of nonsense. And it really isn't that hard to resolve. You know, don't be unnecessarily aggressive. Be kind. Be considerate. Be willing to listen to another person's perspective. And fine, you may not like oysters. I don't like oysters. But I am not going to demand that you not eat oysters because I don't like oysters. So it is just that, say, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It does not have to be, you know, the greatest sophistication is simplicity. I mean, if you, the world would radically change if we literally went back to the old live and let live. You know, how do you want to be treated? I don't want people screaming and yelling at me. I don't want people imposing their will on me. So I returned in kind. Simple, fundamental, basic. That's what I teach. That's what I try to live. That's what I have allowed myself to get off topic in recent months. So I'm back to Brooks Brothers shirts and Lucchese cowboy boots and Macallan whiskey, and just waiting for the next time that I can get together with my brothers and share a dram. And we're long overdue, Mr. Lunsford, but then again, you're over in Utah, but that's one of the few parts of this country I've not seen. So there you have it.
Well, Utah's mine, and you're welcome. Just so you know. It's my island.
Bless your heart, sir.
But, you know, what you said, what the chief said, you know, he said, look, there's no great big aha moments where you realize something you haven't known. Those things are rare in life. One thing, the first time I had Kurt Schlichter on this podcast, I said, look, man, you do what you do and that's cool and everything, but do you feel like you are changing anybody's minds? And he said, that's not my job. You know, the commander doesn't try to convince the enemy of his viewpoint. He tries to make sure that the soldiers are in alignment with the mission. And if you take a look at that from a human perspective, sometimes you just need the commander to be rah-rah about being a human. Sometimes you need your elders just to remind you, hey, man, be human. Be a respectful human. Be the things that separate us from being a chimp or being an alligator. What is it? It's character. Hey. It's belief. It's the thing. It's art. It's the things that matter to us. If you ask anybody who's 80, 999,999 people out of a million go, it was family and friends and acting in accordance with my character that mattered to me. And I wish I'd have done more of all three.
Hey.
And I guess, Dennis, you started us off. And you started us off not necessarily on a super optimistic tone. And that's fine. That's true. I wouldn't want anything but honesty from anybody who comes here, but especially you guys, because I'm counting on you to be what this is intended to be, the Council of the Elders. But you know, you listen to me feeding off of you, and you listen to Chief, and you listen to Red Horse, and now we're arriving back here, and I guess I wonder, what is it that you are left with, and what do you want to leave us with after sort of sitting quietly through this conversation and thinking about things?
It's tough going last. Because
you're the headliner.
Yeah. The points that everybody makes are the points that I was going to say, oh, I could do this one, because I have to come up with something insightful, you know? And it's like, okay, this or that. And, oh, yeah, Billy Red Horse just got that one. Oh, Chuck said that. Now here, Chance. Oh, now what have I got? What have I got? So kind of an ad hoc thing, ad lib, but I would say that one thing that I've noticed in this conversation, what I've seen is that each of us is dealing with this in our own unique way. But what underlies that, what seems to me that keeps bubbling up and resurfacing is core. It's principles, values, traditions. It's a way of addressing life. and it's a perspective. It's like, where are you standing in when you address life? Where are you coming from? And so that for me, like just hearing just the different things and where we went today, one thing that I take away is that we all are still, though, like at the gray table, we have time on people and we have experience on people. And so we've been through the loop a few more times and we've seen the various different iterations of what can happen. And from that, you come away with a sense of just a different perspective. You grow over time. But the whole thing with the, like I say, going back to the ground point, is that it's still coming from a good spot. It's still coming from a place, even though we each, and it sounds like it to me, like Chuck, he rolled back on his heels for a flat second. And the fact that he was thrown into and what his environment and his workspace is, he didn't have time to lay back on his heels. He had to go forward and get up on his toes a little bit, you know, 1 degree forward, move your center mass a little forward. That's how his description to me, was very, appropriate. But it underlying that are those principles that resiliency, that approach to life, to life goes on. This is a moment. We're having this moment. It goes on. How you deal with it, it doesn't matter how old you are. We're gray. Okay, I get it. But we still have those same challenges and same things that are going to test us. Regardless of how old you are, you never get to the spot where you got it so dialed in that nothing bugs you or there's not going to be any challenges. So how each of us processed that, what I saw it distilled down really is there are certain fundamental principles and ways of being with people and how you treat them. And the gentleman mystic nails it. It's manners. It's how you treat another human being. It's respect and not going, you know, not hitting, not everything's not a tripwire that you've got to go up and ramp up to stage 9. You know, but treat people, try to be compassionate. Listen, maybe just because they're yelling doesn't mean that you don't listen. They may be saying something or they're at least communicating something that is not just noise. It's just that their method of transmission may not be the best on your ears, but it's still, they're saying something and it behooves us to pay attention to all sides of the situation, just not let it pour in. I would say, I'd leave it with this. It's like when I said about going internal and being internal, it was that we are so interwoven in the world, in our environment, in other people, in structures, and everything. We're so interwoven. It's very difficult to. And when that starts to get all knotted up, it's very difficult to be able to maintain an equanimous disposition. Just be a little bit more balanced. Don't let people push you off and throw you, you know, shove you into this corner or that corner. Balance it out. Take a look at what's going on. And I always go back to the point that, to me, is, and I said this on the very first podcast that you and I did together, Chance. You know, it was the same thing. leave your, you know, what are you going to leave with? And it's not comfort is a cage. It's not do hard things. Those are ways to spark something else. And that something else is that you believe in yourself, believe in the goodness of yourself as a being, believe that you can aspire to do better. You can aspire to bring things into the world and have a relationship with other people in the world that is a net positive, that is a net good, that it's there's a even though you may not ever have a statue, it's like a pebble in a pond, or you know, a seed. It's you send out a vibe. You can send out a vibe, and that vibe, believe that you can make that vibe positive. Believe in yourself. Believe, have the confidence and the belief to know that regardless of what comes in, regardless of how it's being all turned and twisted, you don't have to be turned in. You don't have to be twisted. You can stay on your path. You can stay with some purity and with a good focus about, if you want to be that person in the world, be that person in the world. So that, I would step back to that. I would say, just believe in yourself. You know, don't let all the various nabobs all over the place and the people that want to jab you, as soon as they see a weak spot, they want to jab it and poke it. Don't let them kick you off into, of what your path is, of your true north. Don't let them take you off of that. And that is why I have had to, like I say, when I started out, it's going, it's an internal thing. That's the internality that I was talking about. Is it's like you've got to go back and touch the lodestone again and go back down to center, because you've been, you know, I have to come back to center because I've been so fractured. And I noticed that analytically, I saw that, man, and you're really all over the place. So what do you have to do? And it goes back to various disciplines and a various point of view, various practices that just bring you back home. You know, pay attention to those things that work for you, that keep you on a good path, a path of the cart, you know, walk that path. And believe that you can do it. Don't let the naysayers make you weak and think that you can't carry the weight. You have the personal power. Do it. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
I've been gifted with a parable as I've been listening to you gentlemen, and I'm just going to go ahead and share it. I shall call it the parable of the five caterpillars. There were five caterpillars. They all ate and ate and consumed everything that they could consume that was within their reach. And they all survived until they wrapped themselves up in a cocoon and their bodies liquefied. And then they reconstituted and they became butterflies. And the first butterfly fluttered around and then was eaten by a lizard. And it became lizard shit. And the lizard shit fed the ground and fed the plants and fed the network of fungus. And the second butterfly flew high into the sky and was eaten by a bird, and it became bird shit. And the bird shit fed the ground and fed the plants and fed the network of fungus. The third butterfly flew to a branch, and it sat in the shade, and it looked at the world around it, and it didn't do anything else. And then it fell to the ground, and it fed the ground, and it fed the plants, and it fed the network of fungus. And the fourth butterfly, it fluttered around, and it flew above the lizard, and it flew below the bird, and it met another butterfly. And it made 10,000 eggs. And then it fell to the ground, and it fed the ground, and it fed the plants, and it fed the network of fungus. And the fifth butterfly saw the other four butterflies. And it saw the lizard. And it saw the bird. And it saw the observer. And it saw the family butterfly. And it made a record of it with the flapping of its wings and sent it out into the world. And those flutters became a whirlwind. And then it fell to the ground, and it fed the ground, and it fed the plants, and it fed the network of fungus. And that's about all I have to say about that.
Medicine. Hey.
So, gentlemen, the only thing I have to add is thank you very much for being here. Thank you too, Chuck, if you revisit this. I really appreciate you taking the time to spend it with me and to share your wisdom and your thoughts with me and with the audience who takes the time to share these podcasts with me and with my guests. I care about you, gentlemen, and I care about the people who take the time to spend this time with us. And I'm confident that they'll take something of value with them from this conversation. And I want to just say thank you very much for making it possible.
You're very welcome. And here's hoping we can, the four of us, come together again in 6 or 8 months and it be an entirely new world where there's no depressing things talked about. We're marveling at, wow, look at this wonderful new thing. Oh, this is cool. And Dennis can show us his newest Do Hard Things gadget that he's cobbled together.
The MacGyver of weight training.
Yes.
I'm working on it.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. That's kind of the whole thing was, you know, don't get on the porch, old man. Yeah. Go do something hard. I just want to say, man, this has really been good. I've enjoyed it. Chance, I appreciate you extending the offer, and it's good to see the gray table back together again.
Hey.
I feel it's such a weird thing, but I feel a part of something that I didn't know was going to be there, and it's nice to be a part of the gray table.
Hey. An esteemed member.
It's nice to be allowed to sit at the table for a while and offer up some hokey parables. So look, you gentlemen are good. I'm good.
Hey,
I'm good.
I am complete.
Okay. In that case,
peace.
This has been the Logos and Trivical podcast. It's also been the Council of Elders. It's also been the Gray Table, and we've been flooded by the gray wave. I've been Chance Lunsford. He's been Billy Redhorse. He's been Dennis Hines. The other guy who left has been Chief Chuck Whitworth. This has all been allegedly, and we are out.